present the House of the Spirit Levels. Episode 6, The End at Last.
The Gringo Stranger, Tony Arstaff. There he is, breaking through the tree line on the upper slopes of the volcano, just beneath the temple of Xochipilli, with the bottle of tequila in his hand, trying to pluck up the courage to leap into the molten lava and obliterate forever his guilt-ridden memory. He will not. His heavy conscience is masked only by his cowardice, and he will be back down by sunrise here in my cantina, ready to quench his self-loathing in even more tequila. I tell you, I'm on a real winner with this boy. Well, until his liver pack up anyway. He tells a strange tale, in a strange hybrid tongue. One part English, one small part Spanish. He adds O to the end of every word. It is not a pretty tale, but his telling of it has become famous for miles around as a surefire cure for insomnia. Indeed, he is worshipped by the local Indian tribes as an incarnation of their great deity. Yes, he's got to sleep. Well done. You're very quick people. To recap his story so far, always far too complicated. You catch up through the episode. All you need to know now is how Tony's hated father had uncharacteristically saved him from a multiple lynching and smuggled him to the airport for reasons Tony did not immediately understand.
Well, Dad, this is goodbye.
Aye.
I want to say thank you.
It was nothing.
No, seriously, I mean, I'd always thought you were completely amoral and selfish and ruthless.
Now's not the time for compliments, Tony, lad, you see. If they'd have caught up with you and killed you, that would have been it. All your suffering over in seconds. Whereas, by saving your skin, I guarantee you years of pain and self-loathing dwelling on all your treachery. Oh, this is better than that Christmas when I wrapped up that packing case and you thought you were getting a huge present. I can still see the look on your face when you unwrapped all the layers and finally found there was nout inside but a plastic submarine from a cornflakes packet.
I see. Well, I'll be off then.
Don't forget to write.
Whenever he related this episode, Tony would always say how if there was any justice in the world, he would have been able to conclude the scene with a pithy phrase that left his father coming off second best. But he could not. And instead he turned devastated and walked away. Then, recalling Sophocles' account of the meeting between Oedipus and Laius, he turned back and kicked his father right in the knackers. Oh, God! Such are the benefits of a classical education.
Excuse me, my son.
Yes, Your Holiness.
Father will suffice. I am only a humble priest.
Yeah, well, I've had it up to here with fathers.
I was wondering, could I borrow your copy of Penthouse?
Well, of course, yes. I was late for the flight, so I just grabbed a load of magazines without looking what I only buy it for the interviews.
Oh, you are very kind. Oh, my. Oh, my. It is a curious thing, don't you think?
What?
Well, there I was, not a week ago in Rome, touring the galleries and museums where images of nude women are held up as the finest achievements of a civilized culture, whereas the images of nude women in this magazine are stigmatized as sinful, exploitative, and wrong.
Mm. Maybe it's got something to do with the low incidence in classical art where the nude is dressed as a St. Trinian's prefect cupping her breasts and holding them out towards the camera.
I haven't got to that one yet. So, what takes you to Venezuela?
Oh, so that's where we're heading. I'm going to Venezuela because I've never been there.
Ah, and that's why I was in Leeds. I am travelling the world to visit the football grounds on which the most controversial refereeing decisions of modern times have been made. I have been to Lyon, where Maradona scored with the blasphemous hand of God, to Wembley to see the famous crossbar of 1966, and now Elland Road, where Ray Tinkler's idiosyncratic interpretation of the offside rule cost Leeds United the championship in that infamous game against relegation strugglers West Bromwich Albion in 1971.
Fascinating.
Yes. You see, in many ways, soccer is a metaphor for life.
Do you ever do thought for the day?
I beg your pardon.
Nothing. Do go on.
Bad things, terrible things happen to our football teams for a reason. These vagaries of chance are there to remind us that the universe does conform to a plan, but one that is far beyond our comprehension. Everything that happens is for the best.
Well, in the past week, I've betrayed everyone I ever cared for and loved, caused my mother's death, and left the north of England in danger of being consumed in a nuclear conflagration. Explain how all that's for the best.
Well, they'll be serving supper soon. excuse me, stewardess, we'd like two large whiskies.
Yes, sir.
Let me propose a wager. It will be my mission to convince you that life is worth living, and that and the terrible things you have done have not put you past hope.
Wow.
Something wrong?
That stewardess, she's beautiful.
Oh, you think so? She is nowhere near as attractive as my wife.
Your wife?
Yes.
But if you're a Catholic priest, how come...
I was bewitched. My wife is a voodoo priestess with a strong inclination to practical jokes. She was out on a hen night and decided it would be fun to ensnare the local priest, that is me. She cast a spell that gave me amnesia. I married her. She gave me back my memory and my dog collar. And of course, I cannot divorce her because we're Catholics.
Can't you leave the priesthood?
Technically, I should. But I have to make a living somehow. And there is not a lot of other work about. And of course, I love her. Her constant infidelities are a source of great pain. But I prefer to look on the whole thing as a test of my faith.
Right.
Besides, I should hate to leave my little parish. It is beautiful. The bar sells the cheapest booze in South America. We get football from all over the world on satellite. The weather is great.
Oh, I'm not interested.
And the women.
Senores, two whiskies.
Look like this stewardess.
Well, perhaps for just a couple of days then.
Well, Tony, after our long journey from Caracas, I expect you need a drink.
Excellent idea. 48 hours on a mule certainly gives you a thirst.
Yes. Arriba, arriba. This way, please.
Ah, Father Torrelengua, welcome home. A conchita de priest is home. Go and get your goats out of the church, eh?
You have been keeping goats in the church in my absence?
Yes, Father, for their redemption. I love my goats. On the day of judgment, I want my goats to be on the right hand of the Lord with the sheep, not on the left hand with the goats. Excuse me.
So, your health, Father. And your friend, he will take the killer also, yeah?
Thank you.
How has my wife been in my absence?
Oh, she has been, I am most dutifully reminding us all that God is love and everywhere, you know, same thing. Now, more tequila?
No, I must go home and prepare for tomorrow's sermon. I have many Match of the Day videos to plunder for Jimmy Hill's words of wisdom. Excuse me. Senor Hardstaff, I bid you good day. Senor Garcia here will show you excellent hospitality.
Of course, yeah. So, what brings you to our town, Senor Hardstaff?
Well, it's a long story.
And for the next 4 hours, he told me. The Ancient Mariner, I tell you, he had nothing on this guy, except at least the Ancient Mariner talked in rhyme.
And basically, that's it, Senor Garcia. I hate myself and I've come here to die.
Tony, you must not think like that.
And I'm going to drink myself to death on your tequila. Another bottle, please.
Still what one spin must be, eh? that's $20, please.
Thank you. But you know what hurts me most of all? Betraying my beloved Emily. How could I do that?
Well, we all make mistakes.
Even if she did want to launch a thermonuclear strike on West Yorkshire just to stop my dad building a holiday centre, I should have indulged her little whims. I know now I love her more than life itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I tell you about Emily, Senor Garcia?
Yes.
Her forgiveness could save me even now, Senor Garcia. But it's too late.
Si, si.
Emily.
Tony, why don't you come and meet some of my friends? Hey, Conchita, get him some coffee, huh?
Si, Senor Garcia.
And so I introduced Tony to my other regulars, the postman, the doctor, the disgraced psychiatrist who left Los Angeles under a cloud after telling his rich Beverly Hills clients to shut up morning and count their blessings.
You're a psychiatrist.
You play poker?
Sure.
Good. It's 5-card stud. That your deal.
So, This is all you do all day?
Are you kidding? Look at the view, the jungle, the volcano, the sunset. We have all the Star Wars films on laser disc.
Whoever wins at cards buys the food and drink.
So you never do any work?
Sure. My patients know where to find me.
99% illiteracy makes my role as a postman comparatively easy.
Oh, dear. Sounds like another bizarre ecclesiastical accident.
What do you mean?
The priest is an unlucky man. Almost every week he is maimed in another bizarre ecclesial accident.
Incense explodes in his face.
He gets food poisoning from the sacrament.
He is badly trampled by stampeding nuns rushing to visit the mobile and summer shop.
He's my best customer, but never does he complain.
Doctor?
Yes, Father, what is this time?
Could you manage to remove this candlestick from my nostril? I tripped while genuflecting.
Sure. Gentlemen, I need your assistance.
Oh, thank you. Tell me, Father, do you never find that your faith is tested by this terrible run of misfortune?
Never, Señor Garcia. I know that whatever travails I undergo in this life are nothing compared to the paradise that awaits me in the next. How are you settling in, Tony?
Fine.
Good. And is the grief of the life you left behind in England beginning to recede?
Well...
Don't set him off!
I must go.
Remember, gentlemen, tomorrow is Sunday.
Yes, Ave Maria.
You know, the way that guy deals with his life is incredible. All those accidents, and yet he takes it all in his stride.
He is surely an idiot.
An idiot or a saint?
It's true, Señor Garcia. But remember, to be a saint, you must perform a miracle.
Storm brewing. Lucky I had no letters today.
That is no storm. Just a special effect marking something that will be significant later on. Yeah. To be a saint, you must perform a miracle. Told you.
Any letters today, Pedro?
Of course not.
Another drink, Señor Tony? I'm worried about you. You're not drinking yourself to death quite so fast these last few weeks.
No. I see you have been sketching plans for yet another fish and chip shop.
Yes, it passes the time.
What is the purpose of this unusual alcove between the counter and the cold cupboard?
Well, that's where Emily's embalmed father would sit in place of honour.
You don't think, perhaps, that an embalmed corpse by the counter would affect the sale of pickled eggs?
Perhaps, but it would have made Emily happy.
Tell me, Signor, have you heard anything of her, eh? Anything from home at all? No? Whether the holiday complex was built, and if so, if Sir Keith Espanyol, who is a reincarnation of Elvis Presley, attracts thousands of gross American tourists, or whether the Morris men saved the Holy Grove of Odin from desecration, whether indeed the Morris men carried out their threat of nuclear destruction. What happened to Joanna, your niece? What happened to Emily?
I have no idea, Señor Garcia. Excuse me, I must go and take my siesta.
Certainly.
Garcia, quickly fetch the first aid kit. The priest has just received a bad paper cut while reading the Book of Job.
Well, look at the state of my son, Mrs. Womersley.
Disgusting but typical, Mrs. Ardstaff.
Living the life of Riley, obviously. Enjoying your siesta, are you, Tony? Enjoying your siesta and your cheroot in the shade, are you?
Mother?
Who else? I've been watching you, my lad. Drinking less day by day, integrating yourself into the life of the community. Don't think I didn't notice you the other day helping the rest of the villagers put up that barn. Who do you think you are? Harrison Ford?
Spirits be gone. I'm happy here.
You can't be truly happy if you're living in denial. And don't tell me you don't understand. Your international guardians open at Susie Orbach's column.
Go away!
Haven't you been wondering what's happening back home since you left, Tony?
No, I haven't. It means nothing to me now. Here is where I belong. Now go away.
So, you never wonder what happened to Emily?
No.
Oh,
look at his face, Mrs. Womersley.
We've got him now.
Come on, little boy. Come with Mummy.
No! No!
Morning, Dad. It's lovely up on the tops today, isn't it?
That it is, Jane. The building work's coming on champion.
Amazing engineering feat, enclosing an entire Yorkshire moor in a weather dome.
Aye, and we're already into profit, thanks to Elvis here.
Yes, sir.
They built it.
They built it, all right.
You know what makes me happiest in a way, Dad?
What?
What we did to Tony's secret trysting place down there by the beck, where he and that batty Emily Earnshaw whiled away the summer afternoons making love and dreaming of opening a high-quality chip shop. If he ever came back and saw we'd built a branch of the industrially recovered meat takeaway emporium on it, it'd kill him.
Aye, never let it be said I'm not alive to sentiment and how to stamp it into pieces.
Enjoying yourself, Tony, love.
All right, Mother, I can take it. Since you've got me here, show me everything from the moment I left.
With pleasure.
Are you all right, Jane, love?
Of course I'm not all right. Not only are those protesters still blocking the bulldozers up on the moor, but Joanna's leading them.
Well, at least Tony's out of the picture.
He's escaped with his life. That's no comfort to me.
And when the South African mercenaries get here, the hospital's going to be awfully busy. Think what that'll do for our health trust shares.
Has it not occurred to you that our daughter might be one of the casualties?
Jane, remember who you are. You're a hard stuff. I'll not have that kind of soft maternal instinct banded about round here. Joanna was free to choose.
I'm sorry, Dad, but she's only an innocent little girl. At Hardstaff Mansion.
OK, you fascist predator, listen up.
Joanna, is that you, love?
Don't try your bourgeois sentimentalities on me. Look out of the window. See the canal?
Yes.
See the submarine?
Yes.
Good. That submarine has 6 nuclear missiles on it. If you don't call the bulldozers off permanently, we nuke the whole town as a protest against your desecration of the environment. You've got 30 seconds.
Listen, young lady, if you think you can go round threatening me with nuclear weapons, you've got another thing coming.
I've got the button in my hand.
Go ahead. But if you push that button, you will not be going clubbing for at least a week. Understand?
What was that all about?
Just Joanna doing her spoilt little madam act. It's all Tony's fault. She was just a normal, selfish, delinquent teenager.
Joanna pressed the button?
That's teenage hormones for you.
Wasn't everyone killed?
Oh, no, actually. No one was killed. Thanks to the huge volume of traffic on the ring road, everyone had absorbed so much lead over the years from petrol fumes that they were immune from irradiation. That's ruffled your environmental priorities, hasn't it, you big lefty? Of course, most buildings were destroyed, which provided a lot of employment for the homeless population. Employed, of course, by Obadiah Hardstaff.
Oh, no.
Life just is not fair, is it?
You mean they all gave up? The pagan survivalist Morris Mann militia who worshipped the Norse god Odin, Joanna, Emily, they just all gave up?
The Morris Mann? You'll recall we left them in the Crimson Pirate, supping pints and watching a certain glowing figure in blue hurling thunderbolts around at the elders of the Church of Elvis.
Blimey! Never mind Odin. That's what I call a macho deity.
Aye, let's worship her instead.
And they all converted to Catholicism the next day. Luke,
you'll notice they're all heading towards the Priory of the Holy Brothers of the Blessed Distillery.
Yes. And look who that is being shown out of the back door.
Me dad.
Nice to see you again, Mr. Hardstaff. And what a generous donation. I'm sure the brothers here will enjoy spreading the gospel all the more in their brand new Lamborghinis.
Always a pleasure, Prior Paisley.
Now, is there anything else I can do for you?
Well, now that you come to mention it, there is.
Mm-hmm.
In about half an hour, 600 burly Morrismen will arrive here to convert to Catholicism. When they take confession, perhaps you could see your way to telling them to work for me by way of a penance.
No problem.
Lovely, and if you could suggest they do it for low wages, I'm sure I could arrange to take care of that coach trip to Madame Jojo's you've been saving up for.
Consider it done, you wily Protestant heretic, you.
But Joanna, she's not giving up. Surely she's still keeping the flame.
Oh, yes. Joanna.
Yours! Welcome to the girly show.
Stop! Stop! I don't want to see any more!
Yes, she's become a youth TV presenter.
No!
I can make you appear to her now if you'd like. Look, it's 4:30 in the morning and she's locked in the bathroom of her Holland Park maisonette, gripped in a cocaine-induced paranoia and trying to recognise the person in the mirror while her boyfriend's in the lounge trying to get his leg over with her best friend amongst the pizza boxes and the empty vodka bottles. There!
Joanna...
Uncle Tony? Oh, God, is that really you? Look at the state of me. And it's all your fault. I thought you were a role model and you turned into just another hard staff. If there was no hope for you, there was no hope for me. With my rebellious streak and my passion for rock and roll and John Hegley, I could have been the next Patti Smith. But you disillusioned me. I lost all self-respect. Look at me now. Nothing matters but money and fame, and I'm coining it. Notorious for flashing my navel stud on telly and smearing trendy footballers with axle grease for charity and being incapable of conducting an interview.
No!
I'm going out with someone from Home and Away.
No!
Look, here's her first photo spreading loaded, showing her breasts in the sincere belief it's empowering in a post-feminist ironic kind of way.
Enough! Let me go back to Venezuela. Take me back, 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 back. Take me back.
Tony, are you okay?
Oh, just a bad dream, Senor Garcia. I need a drink.
Bad dream? You never asked about Emily.
I don't want to know. Senor Garcia, quickly, a bottle of tequila. I can't bear it. It's time for me to die. Only one thing could bring me back now. Emily's forgiveness.
But, Tony, there is always hope.
Unless she comes running out of that jungle this moment and says she forgives me, nothing will stop me.
Look, running out of the jungle, a beautiful, wild-eyed blonde girl.
Tony!
Emily! Emily! There is a God!
See, I told you so.
Emily! Oh, Emily, it is you!
Tony, thank God! I just couldn't rest until I'd found you.
But how did you find me? A private detective? You followed your heart and it brought you here.
No. I told the DSS you were moonlighting. They had you nailed in half an hour.
You're going to tell me that you understand, that you forgive me, that you love me?
Dream on, cockroach. You were the only man I ever loved, but you betrayed me with another. In fact, two another's. You gambled away £500,000 of my money on a single throw and leave me to try and run a fish and chip shop on me own. Think what we could have had. A thriving traditional business and one of each free every night. But no, you threw it all away because you're rotten to the core, because you're a hard staff. I've come here for one thing and one thing only. Vengeance! To tell you I hate you.
You've come all this way across the swamps and ocean and jungle just to tell me that?
That's how much I hate you, Tony Hardstaff. This humid atmosphere wreaks havoc with my ringlets, but I've happily sacrificed them to drive a dagger through your heart.
Oh, that certainly beats a Dear John letter, Mrs. Hardstaff.
It does that, Mrs. Womersley. Oh, look, he's having a fit.
No, not this. Emily.
That's right. Writhe. Writhe in your death throes. Writhe like an eel cast into the boiling fat of a Satterthwaite state-of-the-art organic deep-fat fryer. Until you lie as still as a two-day-old black pudding in flaky batter. Yes! He dies! Vengeance is mine. Wait a minute, what's this in his hand? Plans for the chip shop that Emily and I never had. He's even designed an alcove by the cold cupboard for the embalmed corpse of my father to preside over the whole queue.
and property deeds for site in Brig House in my name. He did love me. Oh, woe is me.
Let me through, child. Let me lay my hands upon him. Tony, Tony, come back. Your time is not yet.
Where am I? Am I dead? No, I live.
The miracle! The priest has brought the gringo back to life!
Quick, quick, father, father, lay hands on the gringo woman. She is having a fit.
Emily, Emily, where are you? Emily! She's dead!
I am afraid so. She collapsed with grief when you died and she finally plans for the chip shop and realized you loved her after all.
Then this means she did love me too. But I cannot live if she is dead.
No, 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 don't collapse again. The priest is trying to revive her.
No, two miracles in a row? Impossible.
Tony, don't lose faith.
Goodbye, Señor Garcia.
Where am I?
Another miracle! The priest has raised the gringo woman from the dead!
Tony, where is Tony?
He's dead, Emily, but the priest is trying to revive him.
Tony, dead,
if
no!
If you just calm down for 2 seconds, I'm sure the priest will bring him back to life. He will bring... Oh, Emily!
Where am I?
Among your friends, Tony.
And Emily?
Dead. But the priest.
No!
Where am I?
Ole!
This went on for some time. Ole! 16 days, in fact.
Ole!
16 days and 16 nights. The priest labored to bring one of the lovers back from the dead long enough for them to shut up and wait for the other one to be revived as well.
Ole!
He failed, of course.
Collapsing
in the end through lack of sleep. But not before word had reached the outside world. The media descended upon us, and for 2 days we were lead story on Holly American Networks. I made a tidy profit, and my regular customers are much bored with side bets. These days, when I think of Tony Arstaff, I see a cruel, tragic waste of time and space. A tale of a cock and a bull. A tale that promised much, but then just petered out. For never was a story of more baloney than this of Emily and her Tony. Well, I must be preparing margaritas for this evening. Good night, buonasera, ciao.
The House of the Spirit Levels by Nick Revel starred David Swift, Maggie Steed, Alison Steadman, Alistair McGowan, Peter Gunn, Claire Skinner, Natalie Walter, Peter Serafinowicz, Joanna Brooks, Chris Pavlo, and Nick Revel. The music was composed by Paul Mottram, the broadcast assistant was Dawn Ellis, and the producer was Paul Schlesinger.